Welcome to the Good Girl Gone Goddess podcast, a soft place to land when you are ready to navigate the journey of deconstruction and reclamation. I'm U'ilani, a mixed Native Hawaiian woman and mother, here to share my lived experiences on this sacred path. On this podcast, we'll explore the transition from the good girl who checks all the boxes to embodying our inner goddess who rips the boxes apart, reclaiming our authentic selves and allowing our personal evolution to unfold. On this show, you'll find supportive tools, personal spirituality practices, wisdom talks, and more as we embrace the beauty of life's complexities. So I invite you to take a breath, open your heart, and embrace the mana and magic that flows through our everyday lives. Welcome to the show. Let's begin. So I've been wanting to create a mini series with this show for forever. I think I've been able to do one. And with so much grace of life being the way that it is and understanding, you know, like what is truly not leaving me, which is this show, there is more than enough time to get into it. And I was able to do one goddess, her story. And I'm not even sure if I'm like stuck on that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about storytelling, a little bit about ritual, and a little bit about working with the different goddesses and their stories and their mo'olelo in ritual, in, you know, creating an altar in your home, or just beginning to invite and invoke these energies to support you on your journey. I think the most important thing that I've learned in not pumping out content consistently or whatever is that I don't think everyone's meant to be on this schedule. I know for me that I feel like a better teacher, parent, friend, you know, whatever, when I'm living my life and not being bound to like, okay, what do I want to talk about today, right? It's like, I will share as things are in resonance. And that's what this whole flow and the show, I think, has really morphed into. It's not going, okay, what is the next topic? And then what is the next post? Like, it's just not in its truth, you know, when in actuality, what is most important right now is really being present for my family, really deepening into what's calling me now, which is like starting to teach yoga again and opening up a circle again slowly. And we just broke ground in our house. Finally, it is going to make 2 years in August. I am really hoping, and if you could keep that prayer for our family, that we get back home. And even though I tell my kids, like, you know, we think we're going home, but we're really going somewhere new. Like, our entire town is feeling different, looking different. And so, you know, also inviting that spaciousness. But thank you for everyone that has continued to stay with me in this journey. I am so grateful for like this worldwide community of, yeah, listeners who are down to just go with the flow of life. Like, that's my peeps, you know, not needing like, what's the next thing? Or like, what's the offering? It's like, we're just kind of sitting and sharing space. And so I hope to connect in some way this year as things, you know, hopefully settle. Like, I don't want to say those things because, you know, it is what it is. But I did go to the Big Island a couple of weeks ago, and I sat in circle. And it was on the full moon eclipse, and it was so, so beautiful. And you could just feel this energetic shift. And I just ended my Sarasati, you know, return. And so there's so much that I wanted to share in this episode. this long episode, which was kind of going to intro the mini episodes that I have been wanting to do since I started this show. So anyways, I was back on the Big Island with my really, really good friend, and we're doing a project together, which I cannot wait to share, but I can wait. Like, I'm just not rushing this, but it feels like a legacy piece that I am creating. And of course, my listeners will be the first people to hear about this. Yeah, it's been like a work of expression and healing and something really tangible to put out in the world. So anyways, we went to work on this, you know, offering or this creation that we've been doing together. And then I got to sit in circle. And of course, you know, you sit and you share with other humans. And we had this mother-daughter duo, which was just so refreshing. And I've never actually sat in a circle with men before too, but there were two older men. And to have this really sweet masculine in my yoga training, I had two men as well that, you know, just became like family to me. And there's something really beautiful about having this sweet masculine kind of ground the space, you know, not wanting to take, but just kind of witnessing women in their truth. And I just really, those are the things that stuck out to me. It was, and then this little girl, you know, she was maybe like 7. She spoke with such clarity and just knew what she knew and the visions that she wanted to share. And I was just looking at her mom of like, now I'm starting to, you know, share with my daughters, you know, we try to pull like a card on the full moon, or just kind of introducing them to like ritual outside of like religious structure, but helping them tap into their own intuition and reclaiming that for themselves so that they know how to rely. And this girl, I guess from, you know, probably baby time, her mom has been helping her cultivate her voice and her inner knowing. And it just brought tears to my eyes of like sharing stories. And she sat and she listened to everyone who spoke, and then she spoke. And yeah, it was just a really sweet moment. And then towards the end of the circle, there was a woman who said, I just want to share a story. And it just brought so much peace and joy to my heart. And it brought me back to like, yeah, this is what you've been wanting to do on the podcast. You know, like the stories speak to that primal brain, that, you know, that deep, deep memory. It's this aspect of the deep mind. And it's where like all our potential, it's like where our source of power lies. And rather than us analyzing, we use this primal brain, right, through storytelling to like feel. And the primal brain is really spoken to in ritual and symbolism. Like rituals speak to the primal brain. And so when we hear stories or we see traditional symbols or images or colors, like that's where we can welcome in visions of the goddesses and God and like different animals. And so, you know, collectively, right, like ritual, symbol, you know, primal wildness, like it all sounds like pretty, oh my gosh, taboo, like this is the stuff that we're not supposed to have. But as we are reclaiming the goddess stories, and as we are reclaiming these parts, which we understand now, when they say witch, they only really mean women, right? Throughout history, it was really just women doing wahine arts, you know, healing and working with the earth and cultivating the energetic body. Most, you know, and the most heavily shamed, of course, is like this aspect of femininity. And we've been taught to fear and like the witchy women and don't be the weirdos and whatever, whatever. And like, I don't know. I think if you're listening to a show called Good Girl Gone Goddess, you don't have that complex. But maybe there's this little residue because society definitely does. And I know so many women that are into an aspect maybe of like human design or, breath work or yoga or whatever it is. It's not mainstream Western or like mainstream Christianity or whatever. There's this huge wall of fear that sits between us and like accessing these primal parts of ourselves, which affect like our sensuality and our sexuality and our intuition and all these kind of things, right? So when we begin to tell stories in like a really simple way, we have no idea that through stories we release all that fear and we release all of those like heavily influenced stories that swirl in our mind of like, is this okay? Is this too much? Blah, 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 blah. Like we just soften. And so as I was listening to this story from this woman, and I want to share it with you, it brought me back to the power of stories, right? And that is what we did. And that is what we want to return to. And that is the way that we bring in connection. And so the story goes like this. There was a woman who lived at the top of the mountain, and her only source of water was at the bottom of the mountain where the river was. And so every day she would gather her bucket. She had two buckets, one for she would put on her back, and then one she would kind of carry in her hand. And so these two buckets, and they were alive, right? Like they had their mana and they were a part of it. And she would speak to these buckets like, okay, we're gonna go get. And they were a vessel, right? So you can kind of make this story, you know, however it speaks to you. So she would go down the mountain to the ocean or to the river, and she would fill up both her buckets. And then she noticed that she would get to the house and only one of the buckets had water. And so she was able to use the water for cooking or bathing or whatnot. And so the bucket with the hole, you know, after so many days and so many weeks of this same routine, kind of whispers to this woman, like, don't take me down to the river, even though this bucket enjoyed seeing the views and passing by the flowers and the trees and the mountains. He just kind of, I don't know why, if he's a he or a she, but just says, just leave me, like, I'm useless. Every day you put me on your back, you take me down to the water, you know, I get to see all these beautiful things, but I do absolutely nothing for you. I don't bring water back. Like, I have all these holes. I'm just useless. And then the woman says nothing, and she puts the bucket on her back as she walks down the mountain again. And then she stops in this patch of blue, beautiful flowers. And she's like, look what you did. And the bucket's like, what do you mean? She's like, well, I knew you had holes all this time. I knew that there was holes, and that's why I carried you on my back, so that as I drew water for me and I brought this bucket from my house, that I was also able to bless all of these flowers who otherwise in the middle of the mountain wouldn't have gotten water. But because of your holes, this was your gift. And now when I go on my walk, I get to see these beautiful flowers growing because of you. And there's so much symbolism, right, in that story. And then it really like made me, okay, have this resolve. Yes, go back to telling stories. There is so much noise out in the online space, and there is so much opinions and shouting voices. But to sit and receive a story, it speaks to, for me, like that little child that is able to be that sponge again, who sometimes, as you know, as adults, we're like, oh, I know this and I learned this and so I have this information. But having all this information in the age of information is not necessarily gonna cultivate wisdom, right? Like, it is this humility and this return to innocence that brings the softening, that brings the deep learning of, aha, there's so much in that bucket. There's so much about the flowers. There's so much about the carrier. There's so much about the water. And guess what? Your learning is your learning. And no one, the way that you heard that story, and I'm not even going to share what I got out of that, the way that the story got into you, to your heart and your mind and, you know, perhaps your body, and just kind of noticing as you're sitting or as you're walking or multitasking or however you're listening to this, maybe noticing if a little more relaxation came in just by a simple story. So the long intro into Goddess Her Stories comes with this invitation. And also that running into this next thought, I saw like a really short post and I was like, oh my gosh, yes. Because, well, let me see, back it up. I have a cousin who is beginning her deconstruction journey. And when you're beginning your deconstruction journey, it's a lot of rage that comes up. And a lot of anger and resentment. And I feel the residue of this sometimes, you know. And she had shared with me that she got a tattoo. And it was like a dime size. And it was just like a little heart, you know. And I think she's going through like a breakup with her spouse. And, you know, a lot of upheaval happening, right? And I'm like, yeah, girl, I get it. Well, that has been me the last 7 years. Like, get ready, right? When it all falls to shit, that's not the one and done. It's the opening. And so I was just like, cheers. Like, I'm here for it. I just, you know, once you kind of are on the ending part of it, I just bow to her journey and just witnessing her. So anyways, a dime size that she had of the tattoo, and, you know, she's like, you don't understand how huge this is for me as someone who, you know, every aspect of your life is controlled, and like tattoos are bad, and like it's gonna send you down the wrong road, and like all the messages that I get. And she and I both grew up Mormon, and so I totally felt what she was saying. But I said, yeah, I'm celebrating you so hard. Like, I remember my very first Pinterest tattoo, and dun dun dun, it was absolutely a freaking heart on the inside of my wrist. I should post it when I share the episode. And it's like a little heart, and it has a wave and a sun and a little airplane. And like, I was feeling so rebellious. And now, like, you know, pretty much every part of her body is covered in, you know, traditional tattoo and whatever. But it was the opening of like, no, this is my pushback, right? Like, this is my body. And this is my saying, you don't have control over me. And so I was just celebrating her, because I remember like, oh my gosh, I'm getting a tattoo today, you know. And it's so little to maybe those who grew up outside of religion, but it's everything when every aspect of your life was controlled and you're going to be damned and all the things. So anyways, but what also happened in the very same week, and this was prior to my cousin sharing this with me, and I think her page is called Your Spiritual Mermaid or something, and it came down my feed, and it was like, heal your religious trauma so that you can find God everywhere. And I took a deep breath into that mana'o, or that thought, because that is what Good Girl Gone Goddess is for. There's so much deconstruction topics out there, and I get it, right? Like, I definitely honor, but I don't want to land and live in the anger. I don't want to land and live forever in the resentment. I want to find and cultivate this peace and this understanding that I am grateful for all that, you know, traumatic experiences, and this, you know, almost like spell which I definitely want to talk about more of, like, that is the spell of the earth, honestly, right? Like, we are taught, again, be careful of the witches and the witchy stuff and the witchy shit and la 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 la. But when in actuality, what is magic? Like, when we think about what has the world and patriarchy and these entities of religion been so afraid of, right? Oh, you better be careful, you know, and I've had this even in my own island, like, that girl, you're gonna need Jesus after, as if I don't also love Jesus, right? And I think that that's super important to hear. But that going, okay, this is me and my brain. La la la, in all directions. But yeah, like, coming back to this place that you can take off the charge. There is going to be a time when you take off the charge, but only, and that's the anger, right? And when you start to wake up and when you think about magic, it really is putting an illusion over consciousness and choice and sovereignty. And I think that that is so much of why there's a big pushback as people start to wake up. But it is not a religion versus spirituality, you know, it is not a God versus Buddha or whatever entity, you know, God versus goddess. It is God and goddess. It is balance. It is just what is Pono. It's the return to right relationship with self, with the land, with each other. And when we only have one way of thinking, one way of being, like, as the supreme, that is why so much heartache and hurt and control and trauma and all of these things, it really comes back down to that. So simple and yet so profound, you know? So healing our religious trauma so we can find God everywhere is, again, another introduction to the goddess, her story, that I hope to bring weekly. Yeah. And so healing your religious trauma, when I thought about this and I thought about the episode and the stories, you know, stories are so important, and I talked a little bit about why. And now I really want to talk about ritual. Because, yes, there is a lot of interesting things that people will post online, and so it might sway you, especially if, like, you were raised with fear in your heart of, like, no statues and no other gods or you're gonna go to hell, and it's like your nervous system and your mind and your consciousness has definitely been hijacked. And I want to just share that there must be a supportive tool. And I felt like it was really hard, and I've talked about this before, of, like, finding prayer again. I didn't want to pray the way that the Mormons prayed. I wanted to pray the way my heart prayed. And so I had to find the words, and then I had to find, well, who is it that I'm praying to? You know, there was a time where I was like, I don't want to talk to Jesus. I don't want to... You know, I just go back to the beginning again, thinking about, like, where I know my cousin's kind of starting her journey, and where a lot of you might be. And the woman, and so my way is that I ended up finding tarot cards. And it happened when I was, like, you know, kind of coming into women's circles. And it was just a really easy way to bring in the divination, like, to bring in working with the divine, to cultivate this own inner voice that is connected to my own energy and my own story. And one thing I absolutely know, whenever you approach anything in life, right, like, the energy doesn't lie. And in material form, working with cards became my way of, like, feeling connected to the divine. Because just because someone leaves a church, or just because, it doesn't mean that we should not, we absolutely, like, that is the moment to double down on finding the divine and finding that inner support to support you in this, like, transition and this upheaval and this change. And so that was my way. And then through the cards, I was working with a big, broad, like, goddess deck, and it had from all over the world. And that's what really inspired me to want to do, you know, this series, of course, and the show and all the things. But Kuan Yin is the goddess that I felt most drawn to. And it was the card for so long, I would pick her all the time. And I was like, man, I feel like this goddess truly, like this energy and this story is speaking to me. So outside of the card and the deck and all these things, I started to do research on her. And then I felt like I wanted to bring her into my home. Am I Chinese? No, I'm not. Am I a practicing Buddhist? No, I'm not. But it didn't mean that that wasn't where my heart was calling. And sometimes as a Hawaiian or just, you know, a native person or, you know, or whatever, however the world shouts at being like politically correct or like, I don't know, I'm so, I get so overwhelmed. That's not your culture. La, la, la. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because all of these stories, right? Like the story I shared at the beginning of this episode, did I tell you what culture it was? Did it even matter? Or did the truth and the frequency and the love of the story, was that enough? For me, we already know the answer. So stories for me transcend all these boxes that society puts us in all day, every day, right? Like it gets to become personal. And as, you know, cultures were colonized and taken over and, you know, the religious entities of the world did, you know, take over governments and just like the everyday life and how it's infused. And even if you don't go to church, you are heavily influenced by, you know, the world religions of the time. And anyway, personal ritual and personal practice is a part of reclamation. So understanding stories, listening to stories, and then finding the pool. And when I mean the pool, it's like this really soft opening in the heart. Like you can kind of feel that. And to learn to cultivate. And the more that we listen, right, the more that we can hear. And I honor the parts and the people like me and, you know, those of you who are listening who are told, well, just pray about it. And we would pray about it and then it wouldn't sit right and be like, well, you're being deceived. I am telling you as a friend and as someone also healing and walking in this path, learn to listen to that inner voice again and trust it. And not to make sense of it and not to let others' ideals impede and stomp all over it. Like learn to cultivate that inner voice and to follow it. So my inner voice really led me to Kuan Yin. And I shared about this, you know, kind of after the fires, how I had, she was my first statue, which was huge. I had her on my bedside and I would, in my own way, I didn't know her proper prayers. I didn't know like the language. I just wanted to cultivate service and compassion in the way that I had studied about her. So I guess today I want to share a little bit about Kuan Yin. I want to share a little bit about the ways that I worked with her. And then also giving you, if you feel called to learn about her deeper, the ways that you can cultivate a personal practice. Because most, I think that she's a perfect place to start in this idea of healing our religious trauma, is that compassion first for ourselves and our experience. Because you feel like anger, you feel frustration, you feel shame, you feel why or whatever. Compassion and grace, you know, a gift of Kuan Yin, an embodiment of this energy and this goddess. And then compassion for other people, for as you step away from the path, quote unquote, you will be judged. It is just a part of it. And it's probably the reason why most people don't ever leave and don't ever follow these voices within, because of leaving the tribe or leaving the family. And that is so valid. But for those of you who have and who are or who may be, having compassion for others and where they're at is everything. And then turning your pain or your trauma or whatever it is into service. And I think that that is why Kuan Yin was such a powerful goddess and why she's, you know, endured and moved beyond cultures and beyond these crosses, lines maybe drawn in the world, is that it speaks to the empathy of women, and the empathy of beings who have lived through some hard things and feel deeply. Like, it's not a heart that is closed off. It's a heart that understands, and a heart that sees, and a heart that feels and wants to offer that empathy and that care. So Kuan Yin, wait to share this story. She, you know, and briefly, because again, a long intro into how I would love Goddess, her story to kind of unfold, is that she is a prominent figure in the Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, Buddhism, as well as other East Asian religions and folk traditions. And that the story of Kuan Yin is really about her selflessness and deep compassion and her compassionate journey. And, you know, she was an enlightened being, and she was so committed to her practices and to her beliefs that she ended up becoming as such. And as she was ready to ascend or to be, you know, enter the state of nirvana, which is this bliss, she heard the cries of the people, and it just pained her. And so instead of choosing to be like, okay, bye-bye, like, I've done my work, I'm headed up, she chose to stay and to be of service to the people. She's a what we call a bodhisattva. And Kuan Yin's, she relates to, you know, this idea of like healing our religious traumas, that again, she cultivates, she's not the goddess of healing religious trauma. Let me just back that up. But I began working with her because of this. And, you know, so with ritual, something I wanted to do is have a visual. So I have a statue. You don't have to buy a statue, but I have learned that they are not idols that you just worship and, you know, like all the scary uju stories or, and even if it was, right? Like, even if I did, I would love to worship someone who emanates service and compassion, not because I'm going to get something, but it's like, yeah, because I also want to, but it's aligning yourself with this energy, right? Another idea is, if you've ever used a rose quartz crystal, and I'm not a crystal, and all things, right, are just tools. They don't have mana or much to it until we bring our own essence to it. When I was teaching a handful of women last year, we talked about what makes a rock turn into the stone which builds the temple. It is how the people, it's within the hands and the energy of the people that gives it its mana, the prayers that is cultivated. What makes it a sacred mountain is that our people make it sacred. They honor the mountain, they pray to the mountain, they protect the mountain, they stand as the mountain. You know, all of these things are really what's the energy behind it. So intention, right? And that's really what just crystals can be. It's not like, okay, I'm gonna buy every single crystal and now I'm spiritual and like now I'm good. It's like, no, you learn to cultivate with it. So rose quartz has this property of bringing in the heart, and you can use it by placing it over your heart. And so a visual that I would have is I would place it on my heart, and it was just like a clearing and an energetic practice of like inhaling, visualizing this loving energy of Kuan Yin, and then exhaling out this energy to the world. And so healing my heart with this loving kindness as Kuan Yin, and then nurturing others around me and extending that out to all. And like 5 minutes, you know, just a personal practice. And you can find something within, and as simple as just bringing breath and bringing this visualization of how this story landed within you and how you can expand and use that, right? Like, we all have these me'er, these heroes or these heroines. I don't know why we say heroines, but you know, these figures in life that we want to be like, and we cultivate, you know, qualities just like them. This is literally what that is. And so as we share more goddess her stories and deeper into these mo'olelo and these stories of goddesses worldwide, goddesses of Hawaii and Polynesia especially, because it's very rare to like work with them personally without having to get them correct. It's so interesting for me as an Indigenous person because of, you know, and I get it. Maybe I'll just park that for another time. There, I understand there's some things that are like, oh, weird. But bringing in our personal practice, there's nothing for people to see. And so with that, it's a call back to ritual. And it's an invitation to learn and to find tools and supportive practices that you can return to daily, because rituals help. These rituals help to create these powerful spaces. You know, it helps when you create space for these energies to create transformation and transcendence and to continue to evolve in a way that is grounded and that is personal to you. And all of this really is about your own personal journey. And just, you know, a reminder that sometimes what I've seen, especially as we go from like religion to spirituality, but really it's all spirit anyways, it's all energy anyways. We have been taught and conditioned to go up and out, like reaching out, and really spirituality and questions and rituals and practices are about connecting in and down and pulling what is most true and alive from within us. That is where the deepest, you know, most surrendered state and this uninhibited life comes from. And that is truly what we're looking for, right? Especially as we step out, we're looking for space and liberation and truth as it feels to us. So I hope that this was supportive in your journey. I know I can just feel that there is so much upheaval right now in the collective, and so sending deep love and support from my little space in Maui. And so all my love, and I will see you on the next episode. Mahalo for joining me today on this episode of Good Girl Gone Goddess. I hope what we explored today supports you in your own personal journey. And if you found it to be meaningful, I really appreciate hearing from you, especially when you leave me a review or tag me on social media. For deeper dives and access to my monthly Good Girls Guide, join me on Substack, where I share exclusive insights, upcoming classes, and community offerings. And until next time, keep shining your light, and I will talk to you on the next episode.